Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the absolute truth show. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the man who wants to run for president but he can't afford to. I am the Hot Rod. Now, on the phone line, I try to send him to the DNC convention, but he refused to go down there and support his boy Biden. He is the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building and staying in the building, hopefully. Once again, that's what I'm hoping that everybody is able to do if they can. Just try to stay away from the chaos as best as you possibly can.
Don't get me started. I show you the pictures all the time on, and it's like on Facebook of people partying and everything, but we will get to that in a minute. And the host on the phone line, I am her role model. I am her worshiper. She is the one that is a lovely, talented Lady T.
What's up, y'all? That was like, I don't know, man. Anyway.
It sounds like it's going to be one of those shows. It sounds like it's going to be one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how are you doing?
I'm good, y'all.
That's good.
Good, exactly. Well, guys, you know the number to call later on, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Let's get right into it. Okay, Lady T, Sean Black. Over this weekend in New York alone, 51 people were shot, according to NYPD. In New York alone, at least 51 people got shot over the weekend. On top of that, we have estimated over 177 deaths to the COVID. There's a coin shortage in the United States. There are no concerts, no theaters, no ball games. The country is still fighting over toilet paper and paper towels. We're still debating about kids going to school or not. As a matter of fact, there are cases of kids catching the coronavirus in school. We are $3 trillion in deficits. 3 million people are unemployed. So bottom line is this country great again?
I think you just painted such a beautiful picture of the future of this nation. It's just so bright. Oh my Lord. That's crazy.
Remember, there's a lot more. Remember, I didn't talk about the fires that's happening or the heat waves. There's a lot more that's happening right now.
Oh yeah, if you would have told me also that there was a plague of locusts that were flying around and descending upon people left and right, like, yeah, then you would probably admit that wow, it really is end of days. I think that this is par for the course as far as what we're doing and what we're going through. Over the last few months, just this small section, this just these few months. But this is even going back years and years. We've been going through a lot of craziness. It's just that as many times as the flood has hit the dam usually stopped up some of the damage. The dam is finally burst and everything is starting to come through. Like you said, weather, The global warming, which is one of the reasons why we've been getting all of these storms left and right. I'm pretty sure you either know somebody that has had some kind of tree fall down either on their property or on their block somewhere in their house. We had a tree fall down in our backyard, and it took out our telephone pole. So everybody's going through something at some point. So I guess if you're going to look at what's going on now, it's a matter of, is it going to get any better? And that's a little bit subjective depending on if you believe in the current leadership that's going on, whoever your politicians are locally and federally, nationally, that's where it's going to have to start.
And to Lady T, well, everything I just mentioned, do you think there's another reason why nothing else is on the rise again? Like, this is an add-on to it?
I don't know. I just feel like we're just dealing with life. And life has its course, it has its changes, and I feel that we really need better leadership, number one, because a lot of people are definitely losing motivation, but you're just going to have to roll with the punches day to day. I don't know. It's going to be more things that's going to happen within,
yeah,
you know, the next couple of days, weeks, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah. Basically, that's when you thought you saw it all, or might be,
yeah,
there's something
then,
else.
Exactly.
There's something else. And, like, at that point, some of us is not even shocked. It's like, if the sky turned green, oh, Sean, maybe see, the sky is green. Oh, well, you know, it's like, what else can you do or say?
There's more. We've got 4 months left of the year.
But you know something, the good part about that, Sean Black, with you saying that, with four more months of the year, we'll be better prepared for anything that can happen in 2021. This is like warm up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I look at it
you
like
know
that.
What? You know what? Thank you. That is a very good concept. This is a warm up. This is definitely a life changer for almost everyone. You know, positive or negative. This is definitely
a
training
camp. That's basically what it is. This is training camp.
And this morning when I type up the show, I was thinking the show, the TV show Survivor. This is like a Survivor TV show.
That's
what I think about this
year. Describing
it.
That's a good way.
You know, when there's so much
going
on.
Who's getting
voted
off this time?
Yes. But talk about voting. Oh, gosh. I can't believe this is a topic we're going to talk about is the post office. You know.
No, we have to,
Well, there's one more thing, like, we know for years the post office has been trouble with money. But, like, I called Sean Black earlier today, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, this came from Fox News before we get into the post office thing. They talked about a story about the Obama administration. How back in 2000, in the second term, not the first term, the second term, how to remove mailboxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Fox, why did Fox bring up a story that happened many years ago about the administration of Obama removal of mailboxes? We may not agree with that.
And you said Fox, right? Fox brought it up.
Yes.
That's like, out of all the stories, they're bringing that up. Like, does that have to do with anything that's going on right now, or they just trying to bring, you know, since anybody pointing the fingers at Trump? Oh, look what Obama did. Also, he did almost the same thing too, but at a different time. Go ahead, Sean.
This has been going on for ever since the current president got in office. And even before that, it seemed to be a hit job on anything the Obama administration either attempted to do, accomplished, or put in place that was either dismantled or was devalued in the eyes of anyone that was against either Democrats or Obama or whatever the situation was. Looking at what's going on now, and this is something that I've talked about on the show before for the last few weeks, and we've all talked about this as well. We know the transparency by what the president has been trying to accomplish is to diminish the Postal Service, the post office, which Trump has railed on for years, basically because in his mind he thinks that the post office isn't making enough money. And in the sense of Amazon gets like sweetheart deals to be able to send a lot of their packaging through the post office, which is one of the things that keeps the post office going, is because of all the deliveries through Amazon. In Trump's eyes, he thinks that postage should literally be $8, $9, $10 per package. You got to remember, it's a constitutional right for people to get their mail in a timely manner and get them out, whatever it is, whether it's medication, et cetera, et cetera. Past all of that, we know now, based on the fact that I believe his name is William DeJoy, is the Postmaster General, who was a Trump donor, who donated $1 million
to the... Can't repeat that again? What he is?
He is the Postmaster General who was a Trump donor and donated $1 million to the Trump victory campaign.
So, no conspiracy on how he got the job, but go ahead.
Oh, of course. And with that being said, things that have been going on with the post office that have been looked at as really, 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 really interesting. We look at what's going on in the West Coast and in a lot of states. I think it's 16 different states over the last few days that the post office has been removing postal boxes and mailboxes from street corners and certain areas and certain neighborhoods that we know are in a lot of minority areas, a lot of places that people can't get to the post office, whether injuries, handicap, whatever is the case, and are removing those boxes. And I wonder why. As Trump continues to rail on the mail-in voting process, the same thing that he's been talking about is going to be illegal, it's going to have millions of ballots from people out of the seas, et cetera, and it's so bad. So if it's so bad, why did the same president just last Tuesday apply for his absentee voting application so that he could do the same thing that he's railing against in the state of Florida? And all of this apples and oranges absentee voting to mail-in voting, it's the exact same thing. So we know what's going on here.
Okay, Lady P, with everything involved with mail-in voting, do you see this? And, of course, he took money away. He's trying to take money away from the postal office service. Do you see this basically as a sabotage for the voting in November?
And certainly, do. It's a sabotage. It's distraction. It's to cause panic and fear. Will my vote count when I put that, you know, your ballot in and so forth? It's also looking like it will be causing a delay. I would not be surprised if, like, what is it, for November 3rd, I believe, Election Day, that it's going to be counted, you know, much later. We'll find out who's president. So I think we should all be just mentally prepared for things like that. You know what I mean? As far as...
I'm sorry to call you off, but that's sad. It's true, but so sad that I have to go that far. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just see it because I saw it this morning when they were talking about, you know, weeks being going to be pushed back and this, that, as far as with mail. So if mail is already pushed back now, why do we think we're going to be so on time to find out who our president is? And all those ballots really do need to be counted. I'm concerned about, let's say, something got lost in the mail. These are things that can happen. So I don't know. It's a big distraction. It's a big, I don't know, it's a listen, we could talk about mailbox being removed since Obama, you know, administration, big deal, but a lot more as far as with postal service has happened under the Trump administration.
Oh, of course.
The post office doesn't even look like it's running the same to me. I went in there last week, one person in there, and you have long lines during this coronavirus time. So people are waiting on lines. For if you're not, you know, have the time enough to go first thing in the morning when they open, you're waiting online for an hour or two.
Go ahead, Sean. Yeah, one of my best friends actually works in the post office, and it's one of those things where you can see a lot of things that's going on, which is overtime is being literally taken away, even though working for the post office, it's a unionized job. So they're reducing overtime. Sorting machines have been taken away, which is actually slowing up the mail in general. So there are things in place there. Yes, there are mechanisms in place right now that it literally looks like from the outside. Even if you don't have any political leanings at all about anything, it looks like the government is trying to, as President former President Obama said, kneecap the post office. That's the best thing that I can think of as far as what is going on right now.
Well, if I think you two guys comment about it together, think about this scenario. You want to go out and vote. You, like Lady T, this is a, Lady T said, this is a distraction. You're afraid to go put in your put in the mail. So you go to the office, you go to the school or whatever, the polling site. But you're handicapped. There's long lines because of COVID. You know, some people don't have patience or the time for it. So some people will be like, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to vote.
And these are the things that's going to end up happening.
You don't need to stand in line for but so long, especially if you're handicapped or you're tired or, you know what? Perfect example. You have kids in school, kids at home. Remote learning. You can't go out to vote because you got to keep the kids.
Think about this. The administration is literally telling you going out to vote is literally life or death because of the mail-in voting process is quote-unquote rigged against him. So you're going to literally tell people, especially those that are in the inner city, those that are in rural areas where they can't actually get access to what you, like you were saying, getting to going out because maybe they're sick, maybe they're handicapped, et cetera, and making them sit on the line for 2 hours, 3 hours, around a bunch of people that may or may not wear masks, who may or may not be sick and not know it, and stay out there and vote. Or they can do the convenient thing, which is even much more safe, and do a mail-in vote, which, by the way, as I said earlier, the president is doing himself.
Yeah, but once again, you're scared to do it. You can't find nobody. Lady T, can you come pick me up and take me to the mail post office? She can. A couple of them, yeah. You know, it's always something. I hear what you're saying, but it's always something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. If there's a plan A, if plan A doesn't work, you got plan B, C, D, E, F. But all involve risk right now, and that's the problem. If a lot of these people are willing to take the risk for this, and that's a crazy concept. But like I said, this is America. A lot is going on. You can't have to scratch your head around this concept. And like I told Sean Black earlier, now Trump is worrying about the mail-in fraud after all this time. But Lady T, Donald Trump over the weekend went to go see his brother. But after he saw his brother, he wanted to go golfing. And like I told Sean, what type of leader go out golfing while all this problems is happening? It's like your house is on fire right now. Okay, Lady T, let's go play golf. Well, your house is on fire. The fire will go out itself. Who does that?
Well, isn't that the norm? That's the norm, though. But I mean, people are gonna look at it too. Like, you know, okay, the president needs a break. You know. Golfing is nice, true. Cognitive, concentration type game. Get his head back in the game come Monday. You know what I mean? So to the average Joe, that will work. I don't know if that cognitive crap will work for him, but come on. Because he still acts the same after golf. You know, you would think it would be centered and I'm ready to go and challenge stuff. No, it's the same shit.
Exactly. If he came back and told us something different or something new, no problem. Mm-hmm. You know what, Trump? You focus in, you get your mind off of things, no problem. But you come back and tell us the same old thing, man, go back to the golf course. Whatever. Okay, yeah. Now.
Lady T might be on to something.
Lady T's on fire tonight, you know. She was waiting for tonight, I see. But,
oh, my God.
Last week, Sean Black called me, and I texted Lady T, when Joe Biden made a pick that made our mouths drop to the floor.
So disappointing at first. But I'll wait.
And last night on Going to Be Show, I heard there was fire on that show last night.
It was fire. So, firecrackers.
Yeah, I heard. I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Good to have you caught in. But before we get into it, Sean Black, quickly, why the nomination of the VP was very important in this case?
Well, outside of the fact of the obvious reasons, being a woman, being black, that has a lot to do with all the consternation going on now anyway. As far as I'm concerned, I personally thought that there were a couple of other better choices that could have gone. Stacey Abrams would have been perfect. I thought Susan Rice would have been perfect to take up the mantle as VP. Would have reached more people. Plus, she worked in the Obama administration. Val Demings, maybe, but because she was a former cop, you don't know what the mindset is behind any African-Americans that are looking at the police in whatever way that they're feeling based on what we've seen. But Kamala Harris, an immediate lightning rod, and it works in this sense. It works from the fact that she's a Kappa, so she's going to have Alpha Kappa Alphas. That's at least 300,000 women strong. So she's going to have that vote sewn up. African-Americans, I think, are going to, who already usually lean Democratic, are going to vote in this sense. Kamala is also half Indian, half Jamaican, born in Oakland, California. So she's going to have many different facets of minorities in the country that will maybe feel a little more represented with her running. I just don't think that she was the perfect candidate as a vice presidential running on the ticket for Biden.
Why do you think that? Because the minute you call, we talk, you told me you almost dropped your phone to the floor when you surprised that Joe Biden
I was grocery shopping, and I got the notification on my phone, and when I saw that it was Kamala Harris, I was like, what? I dropped the phone. I said, okay, I think Biden might have lost this election.
I thought your Jamaican side would have been tuned in and like, yeah, man.
Yeah, what I'm talking about, people didn't want to talk about them.
No guys.
Now, this is the thing, and most people that have followed Kamala Harris over the years have a couple of bones to pick with her, and a lot of it has to do with
process.
I'm obviously being a little sarcastic here. The prosecution and treatment of a lot of African-American men, African-Americans in general, while she was in California, brings up a whole big hornet's nest there. But also one of the things that, and this is something that a friend of ours in our text thread brought up also, is the fact that she, years ago, when she, I believe, was a lawyer, dated the eventual mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown. And then what is being perceived as she got the job and got a lot of the things that she got because of that, which is also, I think, going to be used by Trump at some point as the dirt to fuel his fire. Now, is it fair that this is something, because she's a female, that this is going to be used against her as so many other women have had these kinds of things thrown in their face just because they're a woman? It's messed up. But, you know, this is the problem with politics, is that you have to be pristine and perfect to run to get through this kind of stuff, or at least be strong enough to be able to overcome that.
Okay. Well, with that said, do you think, and I will say the same thing to you, Lady, do you think the pick now, despite what we say, will hurt or help Biden? I mean, we hope it helped Biden, but do you think there's a hurt or help it?
I'm going to say it exactly like how I said it on Brother B's show last night. We are in a political game of chess. She is Biden's queen to protect the quote-unquote king. You know how many moves the queen can make that the king cannot. So that's the whole purpose of him. I feel like he needed to put a female in place, Susan Rice, after that Snoop Dogg, Gayle King, you know, stuff that she felt like coming into. I don't think any black person would have won her on the ticket. You have Demings. I really think Demings was very strong, but just like Sean Black said, the police stuff, especially right now where a lot of people are expressing how they feel toward the police, that could have hurt him. What's her name? Stacey Abrams. I'm going to just say it because some people are not ready for that natural black woman look that she has. White America is not ready for it. They would not have embraced it.
And in all reality, I don't even think Black America was ready for it.
This is what I'm saying. They're not ready. Yeah. They're not ready for her. She's a great candidate. She's a great candidate for it. And then
she's
now
smart.
You have Camilla.
She's very smart.
Yeah, very, very smart. And you have, Camilla. That would have been his only pick to ride how he rides. You know what I mean? So I see it as...
What about Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth is too shaky, Pocahontas and all this crap that Trump would have been ready for her. I don't see her to be that strong with it. I loved her views on education and stuff like that and healthcare, but it's like she wouldn't be ready to withstand that. I could see as much as Pence doesn't talk, I could have seen Pence debating her on a lot of things, and I just don't think she was ready for that. No. Sorry, but you have Camilla. She's strong. I think she's going to be ready for whatever, affairs come up as far as, like Sean Black stated, what was it, like her relationship with whomever and things. I think she's well prepared for that. Us as women, you want to portray us as gold diggers and things like that, we get ready. We'll get ready for that. So I don't think that's...
This is not our first time going through that, those type of questions before. I'm
yeah.
Sure.
I
so
think she's prepared. Listen, the queen is not going to tell you.
Deal with this stuff.
Queens are not going to tell you all they move. They're going to sit back, observe, and be calculated. She's going to be cold and calculated and ready for it.
And,
so I think she can tackle
And, you know, I've met her many times at my other locations, and a lot of people like her, and I do see her as a strong woman. But do you think that's being a strong woman might her in the ass at the same time?
Nope, that's how we're trying to raise our kids these days. I'm sorry, especially our girl children. I remember when I was growing up, that's what it was, a woman's strength. I've seen that with my mother, my grandmother. We need to bring that back. So I think this is going to work.
And the issue
I'm sorry, Sean, I just had to add this thing. My little daughter, she's 4 years old. She's busting my ass, okay, for the record. So to your point, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I think. What the other thing is, and I hope it just doesn't get lost in this, like Lady T just stated, the idea of a strong woman in a leadership position, not just any leadership position, the second most important job in the world, potentially, because we know that Joe Biden, if he wins the election, he's already stated that he considers himself a transitional candidate. Because he's not going to, if he wins, he's not going to run a second term. He's 78 now.
No, he's one term.
So
yeah.
This is to literally set up whoever his running mate is to take over and move forward his platform going into 2024. Now, going forward, like we said before, I hope and we get to a point where we're past the way that we hear when any female is ready to go forward and do something without having to have this the stereotypical mudslinging garbage that we normally hear. That's something that Trump is going to use ad nauseum. And we know the buzzwords. He says it all the time. She's a nasty woman. She's disrespectful. Literally, it almost,
and what
I
is,
thought
and
he was going to say she's coming
sorry.
Out of pocket the way he was saying it.
Yeah, but I'm sorry,
yeah,
what is he? Sorry,
he's
I'm
a,
just thinking
perfect,
how nasty he is
gentleman.
When he speaks and
no,
Twitter.
No, he's a
and...
perfect gentleman.
Oh, okay, okay.
Gentleman.
I notice whenever a woman speaks out and she speaks out on things, it's always, oh, we're nasty with this, with that. Like, okay, interesting.
Sure, but
it's right out of that playbook that he always tends to use, and the problem with that is that it's almost like it's rationalized. And when you have a rabid base, because we know the Trump base, forget about him trying to grow his audience or grow his base. The base that follows Trump are very loyal and rabid to a lot of the extent where they will hang on literally every word he says. So if he's going out there and leading the charge against Kamala Harris, and it's not for policy, if it's not for her views on certain things, on taxes or whatever, and it's all personal attacks, sexist attacks, racist attacks, if people aren't watching through that veiled prism and they're realizing what it is, and they continue to co-sign what he's doing, that's going to make this even worse, because now Trump will have to figure out how to do this without sounding like a misogynistic racist. But wait a minute. He already
exactly.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
And to let you see, not to go off track a little bit, like I told Sean Black earlier, if Donald Trump did his job, he probably would have nothing to worry about. Despite that, you know, people like him on that. If he did his job, handle the coronavirus, handle the everything that's happening right now, he would have nothing to worry about. He would have to do nothing but a post office or anything.
He's not a multitasking president, though. He never appeared to be a multitasker president to me. You understand what I'm saying? To get everything in order, he's too busy worrying about, you know, calling people names, going to the rallies, calling people names once again. You know, it's no focus point. When they brought it to his attention with the coronavirus, he considered it a Democratic hoax. You know, you got to be a person that takes things seriously and be ready to attack. I shouldn't say attack, handle things head on. The minute it happens, it needs to click to you. This is urgent. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't strike me as that person. He never was when he came into office. So if everything is some sort of delay with some sort of stupidness behind it, like childish.
Oh, no. Yeah, true. And earlier, like I told Sean Black before the show starts, the way, like he does describe how he talks all the time, I was listening to Governor Cuomo of New York, because right now that we have a Democratic convention going on right now. And, despite, you know what, you may like Cuomo or not, whatever, as I told Sean Black, I defend the statement. He handled the pandemic. He made some mistakes, but he handled it well because, as you can see, we're not a hot spot no more. But at the same time, even with the way he spoke like a leader. He spoke like he want to get people together. And when he listened to Trump, she's a nasty woman. It's fake. Fake news. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, what a difference. You have your leader of the free world out there calling people names. And you have a governor of New York who's trying his best to get people together. It's like, it's mind-boggling. But at the same time, you have the Trump supporters praising this guy like he's God, and he has not done a lot of things. Granted, not everything was his fault. But he has not handled the problems of this country very well overall.
Think about all of the things that have happened since the coronavirus pandemic has started. Between schools closing, jobs have been lost, probably will never come back. Certain businesses are going to completely lose their jobs. The economy
is in the toilet.
It
will take years to recover.
Yes.
This is what
it's even altered the way we look at television, where the way we look at sports, entertainment, concerts, the movie industry. Everything has had a trickle-down effect due to this one mishandling of this one instance that has compounded everything else. There were already things in place that were already the machinations were already in place. This exacerbated everything. So now we have the pandemic, and now everything else that's connected to it, almost like trees growing, their roots involved. All of the leaves that are coming from there are all symptoms of the disease that's gone out there. And as long as we are in the same situation and the head of our country that is supposed to be taking care of this doesn't take it as seriously as it should have been and was nipped in the bud. Because remember, it was just 3 months ago that we had lower cases. I think we were only getting like maybe down to like 11,000 cases a day or 12,000 cases a day. We're up to almost 50,000 new cases a day. We're already at 170,000 deaths in this country. They're already saying that by the end of the year, we're looking at 250 to maybe 300,000 people dead. And that's a
rough. And those are the same amount of people who could be voting right now.
Well, don't forget they also said it's because we're doing more testing. So the more testing we go, you know, that we do, you're going to find that people are positive for the coronavirus.
Huh.
So.
True. And they need to take care of themselves. But how many times are we going to discuss on the show and all over around the world on social media for people to take care of themselves? You know?
Yes, but it's only what so much taking care of yourself you can do there. Don't forget, we had cases of people who did it to the T, taking care of themselves as far as that goes, and they still caught it. So we really need to know what's really going on with this coronavirus. I think it's a little bit more to it that we're not aware of. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Oh. But so K-Dog, the people, hey, what's going on? So the people that are supposed to go vote and everything, and for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and all that stuff, people have told me, if you don't vote, that means you are, because they say you don't like the party, Kamala Harris, Biden, Trump, Pence. If you don't vote in November, that means you are a Trump supporter. Do you think that's true?
Well, if you don't, no, I'm not going to say it's true, because basically, if you don't vote, where's your voice? What do you have to say? Because it's like this, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Okay, you have Joe Biden. Am I going to say Joe Biden's the perfect candidate? No. Am I going to say Kamala Harris is perfect? No. It's choosing the lesser of two evils. It's like this.
Yeah.
You look at the 4 years. What has the 4 years of Trump brought? More division. Now we're dealing with a crisis, with one of the worst crises ever. We're dealing with a pandemic, economic crisis, more racism out there in the streets. I mean, let's face it. From the moment Donald Trump has gotten into office, this country, I can't say America's been perfect, but it's been down the dumps. Now, we have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We didn't even get them into the White House yet, and yet a lot of people are criticizing them. A lot of people are saying, oh, this and this and this. Okay, listen to what they have to say. Check out what they're going to do. Listen to what their agenda is. Compare that to Trump's abandoned agenda was.
Do you think she's going to attack already because she's a quote-unquote black woman?
Well, of course she's a strong black woman, and plus based on what a lot of people have to say about her, both good and bad, but people are going to vote. People are going to get out and vote. They're going to be mobilized to vote. And, of course, with tonight being the Democratic convention, the start of it, we're just going to hear what they're going to say, what is their agenda, what she's going to bring to the table along with Joe Biden.
We got to hear that out. Did it bother you when you hear the race issue involved in Kamala Harris, that, oh, she's not black, she's Indian, she's Jamaican, blah, 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 blah? I know race shouldn't have to do with anything with this, but fortunately, this is America. Race is basically almost everything. How do you feel about that when you hear about the race issue and this topic?
Wasn't bothered by it at all, and I highly doubt that she's probably even bothered by it, you know what I mean? So that's expected. That's the first thing, no matter who it is, that they attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are prepared for it already. And as far as what has the Trump administration done, this, that, the next, we had crisis under other administrations, but like I said, those leaders took it seriously from the moment that it happened, where they were able to tackle it versus waiting and waiting to see how bad things are going to get first before I decide to, you know, run in and save everyone. Let's stop with the nonsense. And that's where the chaos comes, even with the, you know, the protesting with all the shootings and things like that. It's all the same scenario, and to me it just seems like one big distraction. So I don't know how that's going to work for him on his ticket, but as far as people not liking either one, you're going to have people that's not going to vote because of that, because, yes, it is the lesser of two evils, but okay. But we need those votes. So y'all need to take your emotions out of it, think without the emotions, and start thinking strategically and thinking with your head. And the way I see it, Camilla is not worried about people questioning her race. They did it with Obama so many times, down to, show me your birth certificate. I think they are better prepared. When you go through certain things and then you it revisits itself, you remember what happened. And you remember, okay, I didn't do it like this. So this time I'm going to attack it like that. I think they're well ready. They are damn well ready.
And Lady T, on a personal question, are you running for president right now? You're on fire tonight. Are you okay? You're running for president?
Whatever.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree. And unfortunately, you know, people, I had to bring this race question up because people are like, you know, I'm going to vote for because the announcement was made last week. And, you know, of course, you know, social media was blowing up. You and K-Dog saw it. Oh, yes, my girl, Kamala Harris. I'm going to vote for her because she's black.
That's okay. And you have people that did that with Obama. Don't forget. A lot of people went out for the first time voting.
Yeah.
And that's all right that they do that. That's perfectly fine. I don't like her. But, I mean, listen, I'm not voting Republican. So I do like Joe Biden. So I have to go with the ticket. I'm sorry.
Exactly, because you know what it is? I mean, like I said, and I'm glad that everybody's seen it. Listen, if you don't vote, you're going to stay at home and say, oh, I ain't voting. Okay, then don't vote. Then don't complain about anything. Sit down and shut up. You know, sit down and shut up. Don't complain about nothing. Saying, oh, I ain't voting.
You heard
I'm
that?
Like, okay, don't vote.
You heard that, people?
And, I'm
Kato
saying,
Kato says, sit down, and don't talk.
And shut up. Don't talk about it because you know what? It's like this. If you see a problem, okay, like I look at it, and my point of view for this election is ABT, anybody but Trump. Okay?
Wow.
Joe Biden,
ABT.
That's
the new Democratic hat.
That sounds like some kind of
copyright
that
shit.
Some kind. And you know what it is? And you mentioned that serial texter. Ah, who gives a damn about him? You know, he's stupid anyway. But anyway, like I was saying.
Okay.
Sitting down and not voting doesn't solve an issue. It doesn't solve anything. Because you know what? The wrong candidate steps in, and next thing you know, everyone's like, oh, all these people demonstrating, Trump and Pence must go. But what are you doing about it? Or I don't like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Okay. Listen to what they got to say. That's it.
Okay. And Sean Black, anything you'd like to add on before we move on?
All I can say right now is that we've got 11 weeks left until the election. So whatever is going to be put in play will be put in play very fast because it's not like they're going to do a slow build to, well, this is what we're going to do from here to here. And then this is our plan from here to here. Because of the nature of everything now, the fact that we have the Democratic convention is virtual. This is one of those things where it's going to be put in your lap, and now you're going to have to realize what the candidates are there for. I think we, for the most part, know what President Trump is running on, and now it's a matter of getting the Biden ticket and see what they're going to be running for, which is obviously completely antithetical to what is going on right now.
And as I see Kato tomorrow morning, what was the sign? Anybody but Trump. That's what Kato is doing tomorrow.
He's going to put it on a headband, I think.
Wow. And you have somebody wear the MAGA hat, and you can see those two going at it all day.
Oh, boy.
Good luck, Kato. But on a serious note, Lady, I would ask you to please explain to me and our listeners out there about this story, about this kid, something that happened in North Carolina, of a young kid, a five-year-old kid, I believe, named Cannon, who was shot by his neighbor and got shot in the head, probably though because he was riding his bike with his siblings in a neighborhood house, I believe. And the guy just took out a gun and shot him in the head. it was popular on social media, but a lot of people was crying or saying, saying, where is the outrage or the cry or where is the media attention about the story of a young kid getting shot by a guy? Yes, I have put race into this. It was a white kid that got shot by a black man, but the black man is arrested and is in jail right now. I don't know too much about the story, but I just know that a lot of people was posting justice for Cannon. Where's the protest? Where the riots? He did it for George Floyd. Why not for this young kid that was innocent killed by a black man?
Right. I had briefly heard about that story, but my concern, even when I'm just listening to you talking about it again, is what is the problem? Why can't they say justice for Cannon? Is something no different than with George Floyd, something illegal happened? You get what I'm saying? So what's the big difference? Is it just that we protest for blacks? Because whites have been protesting before as well when certain things happen within their communities. Protest is protest. It's about justice for what has been done that was illegal. So I'm not understanding what the big deal is. And then secondly, why did he shoot the kid? Was it accidental? So I don't know the underlying issues with what's really going on here.
Well, from what I remember looking at.
To your statement, Sean, do you believe there should be forks and tiki torches out there too? While people going crazy and rioting, because that's what we need right now, more rioting for justice for Cannon?
First of all, we need to find out exactly what makes somebody that sick that you would want to just murder a 5-year-old. It doesn't make
exactly
a difference race or not. It's a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that murders a child deserves to be put underneath a jail. I don't care what race you are.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I've stated before, and this is something that I've brought up before, what's going on now is because of the racial element, this is being highlighted as why haven't we had more attention paid to this? And I've seen I don't get on social media much. I don't care for social media. But I have seen on the news in certain areas or that there is this outcry of, well, what's going on? Why hasn't this been brought up more often? And I bring to you this, and this is not just murders, but this is mostly like when it comes to missing children, kidnappings, et cetera. This is the difference when we hear about white kids and black kids. They do a survey every 5 years. 33% of kids in the FBI database go missing are black. Black kids only make up 20% of the population. So 5 years later, same database, 35% of those missing children are black, but this is the difference. 7% of the media responds to it. There's a flippant thing there. So as I said before, I'm not going to disparage this disgusting situation there.
Of course.
Outside in a vacuum. When we talk about media coverage when it comes to crimes, there have been hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of African American girls, children, male, that have either been kidnapped or murdered, and you almost hear nothing about them. If you do, they're already dead. Or it's happened years ago. Well, where did so-and-so disappeared to? Where did it go? You don't hear about that in the media. Now, this case should be getting more media attention because, as I said before, this is a disgusting case of a child being murdered, and the person that's in jail now, if this is indeed the person that did it, belongs under the jail. To hell with them. But
of course,
we have to pump the brakes when it comes to who's getting the media attention for certain things when systematically, when crimes happen on the other side, they almost never get looked at in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it was vice versa. A white man shot a black kid was the same exact story. It would be all over the news. Like a white cop
today,
killing a black guy.
In this environment, in this heightened sense of race where anything that happens with black people are getting the much more attention? Probably. But overall, as something that, that we look at in the history of what's been going on as far as the media covering these kinds of things, you'll almost never hear about that missing black girl or that missing little black boy anywhere near as much as what you would need to find out what's going on because of the dynamics of what's going on in this country right now.
So, I'm sorry. K-Dog?
The sad thing is that whenever these things happen, especially to children between black and white children, it's very tragic. It's very tragic. Any death of any child is tragic. But it's even more heartbreaking when you hear when you look at the statistics between black and white children. You know, these things, it just breaks my heart every time I hear about, you know, children dying in tragic circumstances, being murdered, you know, missing children, and they find their bodies. It's just horrible. It's
true,
just horrible what the bodies are brought to.
Why people want to see a riot about these things? That's what I'm trying to understand. Why they want the media attention, I understand. I completely agree. We don't hear
right.
too much about this. But why do people want a riot and protest about this thing? I'm like, the guy did a terrible crime, but he's arrested. Compared
mm-hmm.
to if he was let go, they don't understand the noise about that.
No,
right.
it can happen.
But the criminal
something
was
tragic.
Arrested.
Something tragic mm-hmm. happened. That's the reason for the riots and the protests. It's no
exactly.
different than when something tragic happens in our community. Riots and protests. There's always going to be people who want to do the stupid rioting part. I never
right.
get that part. But
me
neither. You have to see that something mm-hmm. tragic has happened. People are not all the same and are not going to react to it. So we're going to have the rioters.
Exactly.
We're going to have the protesters. It's the dynamics of it. I'm sorry. It's been going on for
exactly.
so long.
Exactly. Because, you know,
true, but
especially when you look at what has happened is when you look at the history of the United States, especially with the injustices that black people continue to face, especially when crimes happen to us, especially at the hands of those who are supposed to be protecting us, or, you know, you hear about Karens and, you know, doing terrible things to us. You know, people will protest. There will be protests. There will be outcry of justice. As for rioting, I mean, it's out of anger, you know. It's just the anger of it.
And everybody doesn't, like I said, react the same to certain things. So you're going to have the people
exactly.
that are calm protesters. You're going to have the people that are ridiculous rioters. I don't know what the heck to call them because I don't agree
exactly.
with them.
But, like, see, they were calling this thing hashtag All Lives Matter. Like, you know, we gave all the attention to George Floyd. Why can I give it to this kid? This poor little kid, Cannon.
How much attention do you want when we don't even know exactly what happened still? But how much I could understand that you're saying justice for such and such. Sure, you want to protest in your communities. They do this all the time. No problem. What is the problem? Why you have to always compare what has happened to blacks and what has happened to whites, where what has happened to blacks has been happening since slavery time? It's just a new age form of slavery. So that's what our injustice is really about. Yours is not the same.
Mm.
We are not the same.
Excuse me. And last but not least, Sean Black, I'm sorry, but your boy Nick, talk about Cannon, the other Cannon, Nick Cannon. He's trying to sue Viacom for $1.5 billion for you know, wrongful termination. Now, Sean Black is Nick Cannon has a case, or he's wasting his time?
Well, based on his wiling out, it's his creation. He created, what was it, 10 years ago, however long the show
yeah.
has been on? It's been making MTV, which is owned by Viacom, CBS. It made them billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You start spouting off anti-Semitic rhetoric, there's a good possibility you're going to lose your job. If you're going to lose your job, make sure that you have certain things in place where monetarily they owe you X amount of whatever is the case so that you don't fall into the situation to begin with. There are way too many machinations in place from other companies that they own properties like whatever this show is and this. They own tons and tons of content. If you're going to go against the grain and you're looked at as a creator and you're not just the host where they would just replace you, no, they canceled him and they canceled the whole show. If he can get the property, if that is indeed his, and he can actually go through the court system and get that taken care of, hey, maybe he has an argument. But if you're, like I said, if you're spewing anti-Semitic filth on the air and saying whatever his opinion is, and he thinks that that's the case, if it's looked at as anti-Semitic, you're not going to win out on that at all.
But, so let me see, did he say anything anti-Semitic during that interview?
I'm still waiting to find out what he said that was anti-Semitic. I remember around that same time they said Ice Cube said something anti-Semitic, and I watched the interview on one of the radio shows with Ice Cube, and he explained that he didn't say anything, that it was turned around. I'm still waiting to see what Nick Cannon actually said. Why wasn't that first put out? Like, you know, they always put out every single thing when it's something else, but this they can't still tell us what he said that was anti-Semitic, and that's what really bothers me. And is the video taken down? Why? It should be up if it's really anti-Semitic. So there's something. I think he might win this case. So I'm glad he's going, you know, going hard with it. I think he can win this and get something out of it.
I mean, he's not going to win the case, but he might get something.
He's not going to win it fully. He's going to get something out of it. I'm telling you, he will.
And K-Dog, last word.
Last word? Well, listen, I saw the show, and I didn't even hear him say anything that was really anti-Semitic. But, however, all this prejudice, all this racism is just ridiculous. And, of course, if you want to make change, get off your ass and go out there and vote. Don't just sit there and talk about it and yap, and flap your mouth and text and do all this garbage. Put some action behind your words.
Okay. And Sean Black.
Yes.
So, about Nick Cannon, do you think he's going to win this case?
Probably not. I think there's going to be a lot behind the scenes that we don't know about. They'll probably end up settling out of court and taking some kind of money with him just to push everything under the rug. But I don't think it's going to be where he's going to just go to trial, and then do everything else. I think this is going to get settled, like most of these cases do.
Yeah,
they get settled out of court. There's going to be a ton of money, and then they're going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, guys, do we have to be careful of what we're saying now? Even though we have freedom of speech, you know, we have the right to say these things. I'm not talking about attacking. I'm just saying, like, you know what? If there was some black Jews, don't you have the right to say there was black Jews out there?
So that goes beyond freedom of speech then. And do we really have freedom of speech? That's something that we now need to think about moving into this voting, because our president sure has freedom of speech when he just says what he wants. So why? What makes us any different?
You know what? I tell you what, the president, I love when a reporter asks him the question, how do you feel about lying to the American public? And he just brushed that question away like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a joke, but that's a serious question. How do you feel lying to the American public about all these topics? I never heard a reporter ask a president that type of question.
Well, for some people, it's better to beg for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. And I think that's pretty much where that goes.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in
mind. Oh, wow. Okay. On that note, Brother B, I know y'all there.
Nation is entire life without ever
K-Dawg, Lady T, Sean Black, thank you so much for a great show tonight. Stay healthy. Stay out of trouble. What the hell is that noise?
I'm sorry, watching Michelle Obama's speech.
Oh, okay. All right. You do that, kid. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy.
Yeah.
The pleasure was all everybody else's.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden wants all of our kids, no matter what.